want to turn there. Ephesians chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew right beside you there. So if it's not beside you, look at the guy down at the end and say, hey, would you pass me a Bible? But I want you to be able to follow along. I don't want you to be taking today's message and just saying, oh, that was a nice message the pastor preached. I want you to say, oh, the Lord has spoke to me today. And so this is out of God's Word. The Lord's really been burdening my heart. And I was thinking, you know, if all the leaders were to all of a sudden die, and you're going like, ah, in the church, would the church continue to go on? Would the young people be ready to take the church on for the Lord? And that's quite a question, isn't it? And I really believe that our young people could do such a thing, but what happened when I was younger was I was always thinking that it's the leader's job, right? And what does a young person do in a church? But you know what? A young person needs to realize that they are part of the church and they are an important part. And I challenge the young people to be preparing to fulfill God's work here. And that's why I asked that terrible question, what if all the leaders were gone? Then we all go like, ah, what would we do? But you know, stop and think about it. Would you be willing to let God use you to fill in the gaps and keep things going? And someday, if the Lord doesn't return soon, like we were looking forward to, it will be your job. And who is preparing right now for that? I think the problem why so many young people are leaving the churches today is because they feel that they have no part, that it's not real. And I want you to know that God is real. I want you to have a personal relationship with God. Of course, I do the adults too. But I also want us to realize that there's more to church than just coming. All right? It's a walk with God. And we've been talking about a walk with God. And I really want to apologize to you folks on the radio. I've had a problem with our duplication system, and I was not aware that until after that we've been playing the same thing and we couldn't figure out why. And it wasn't the radio station's fault, so I want to apologize if that came across that way. But it is all fixed now. You will notice that are going to play one more backdated message, and then when this one comes out, we'll be up to date. But I've been preaching a series, and I picked out a couple of messages that you've missed that I felt were important that will be on the radio yet, so this won't be up to date until after next week. But I thought important in this, what we've been studying, is a walk with God. A lot of Christians today are wondering what a real walk with God is all about. Matter of fact, I think there's a lot of people today who really don't care if they have a walk with God. But I can't think of anything more important in my life than my walk with God. And as I started doing this study, I realized that, you know, it's easy even for a pastor to get busy and to neglect maybe his personal walk with God. You're going like, how can a pastor ever do that? Well, it's very easy if I'm preparing 3 or 4 messages a week to dig into my Bible just to prepare a message and not to sit down and study God's Word just for myself. Do you take a time each day to study God's Word for yourself? And I was reading in the Scriptures this morning on my own. I love to take the book of Psalms, and I like to read through them in prayer. Do you ever do that as you're praying, just read through the book of Psalms? Boy, David had a way with words to praise God. And so I was reading through one this morning, and someone quoted a verse from it in our Sunday school hour, and that's a blessing. But growing in the Lord is something that's really challenged my life lately, and I want to challenge yours. And I don't want this to lull you to sleep, but in Ephesians chapter 4, we see here, this is the, if you're going to study a chapter in the Bible and you're a Christian, I challenge you to study Ephesians chapter 4. Why? Because it tells you how to be successful and victorious. In Sunday school, we discussed something very important. We discussed that you don't serve God first and foremost. Now, don't take me wrong. Listen to the whole thing. You love God first and foremost, and that dictates the way you serve Him. Because it's awful easy to start out loving God and serving Him and then get caught up in the serving and forget about your love for God. And I notice that most people who get offended with things, maybe in the church or anywhere else, or maybe their marriage relationship is breaking up, or they don't care about the ministry in the church anymore. You know what happened first? Their love for God started to drift. And in order for us to keep that strong, we have to have a daily time with Him. And I know a lot of folks here started that when I started preaching on that daily time with God. And so in the introduction, we've learned in the past how to have that vibrant, intimate, personal relationship with God. And that was daily in the Word. And I printed out some sheets. I put them on the back of the bulletin for everybody for a few weeks. But I started using them myself. And so every day in my notebook, I open it up to see if I did it the day before. You ever find out that you might miss one if you're not careful? Maybe you come home in the evening and you're like, oh, I'm so tired. But you know what? It's so refreshing to go ahead and help yourself dig into God's Word anyway and finish it up. But I challenge us in the morning to do so. The second thing is we learn to walk in the Spirit. And thinking about that, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? To be Spirit-controlled. In other words, I allow God to tell me what He wants. In other words, if you start your day out and you pray this, Lord, what would you want me to do today? You know what the old flesh says? Hey, we had plans. Ever do that? I wanted to do this today. Maybe it's hunting. I'm going to go hunting today. But maybe God says, no, I want you in my Word today. You know, where that shows right off where we're at. And so here's the challenge. A walking in the Spirit and then moment by moment. Have you ever been in a situation where someone's really aggravated you? You know, really, they've done something to you and you're ready to just let them have it. Maybe it's a brother or sister. Do brother and sisters ever get on each other's nerves? I would think so. I had four sisters. Don't you feel sorry for me now? And, so we would always get along so perfectly, right? They're all little angels, and knowing me, Mr. Perfect, everything was fine, right? And you're right. Somebody's shaking their head. No, Pastor, you weren't always an angel. And you're exactly right. Things didn't always work so well. So how do I walk in the Spirit? Do you think God wants me to be fighting as a young person? No. So how do I deal with that? Well, at that moment, when I'm getting ready to let brother have it, he deserves it, you know, or I'm getting ready to let sister have it, the Holy Spirit says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, how did Christ forgive you? Unconditionally. I didn't do anything to earn it. Now, here's how I would forgive my sister. If you say you're sorry, nope, you didn't mean it. Say it like you mean it. Now, you're going to have to, you know, do my chores for me for a week before I forgive you. You know, that would be good, right? No, God doesn't do that, does He? He says, you asked me to forgive you. You mean it? Yeah, sure. I really do. Lord, will you forgive me? Forgiven. Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing? Now, we go to the adults and are going like, that's right, kids. I hope you got that. Hey, wait a minute. Don't we do the same thing? You know, maybe that guy is cutting you off in traffic. You're ready late for work. There he cuts you off. And the Holy Spirit says, ah. And your flesh is saying, let him have it. Well, they call that road rage or spirit control. And so moment by moment, that's what we saw. Let's move on. So then we learn to avoid some major hindrances in walking in the Spirit. You ever get bitter? Bitterness was one, and that's why I wanted it on the radio, because I know that everyone deals with that one. And by the way, bitterness is a root. In other words, it's like a dandelion. You can cut it off at the top, but it always comes back. I've known people that have been bitter for 25, 30 plus years. You notice how it destroys their life? By the way, bitterness has been described this way. It's like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die. All right, so bitterness. The other thing we talked about last week, and I didn't want to preach on this one, was pride. But you know what? It needed to be preached, because it's usually the root cause of every sin in our life, is pride. And so now this week, well, Pastor, all of this sounds good, but how do I actually practically live for God? There are things in my life that I just can't overcome. Have any of those? You know, you want to give them to the Lord, and you try, and we do give them to the Lord, but it seems like they keep coming back. I prayed about this, and I prayed about this, and I'm getting really discouraged. I mean, I'm feeling guilty. I mean, I've told God that this is wrong. I admitted it was wrong. I want to get rid of it, but here it is again. Ever been in those shoes? Well, I'm hoping that today's message will help us, and I don't know how God will have this go. It may take 2 weeks because there's so many practical helps in this, but I'll go this however, and we'll stop on time, and we'll just see how far we get. But in Ephesians chapter 4, and for a scripture reading, just again, I want you to pay close attention and see if you can see in here some practical steps on how to grow in the Lord. All right, growing in the Lord and our walk with Him. So Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 1 through 6, and then jump down to verse 17 and read to the end of the chapter. I did that for sake of time, but it's all very applicable if you read the whole thing. But let's start in verse 1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Now, who's preaching here? Or who's saying he's a prisoner of the Lord? This is the Apostle Paul. And he was a mighty man for God. Would you consider him a prisoner? How many of you consider yourselves a prisoner? You're like, what do you mean? What do you think he meant? He said, I'm his servant. I bind myself to his will. All right? And so, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord, he says, I beseech you. There's a big word that means, I'm begging you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now let's jump down to verse 17. It says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now there's a big word, lasciviousness. I wonder how many people, if I offered you a dollar, if you could define that, could define that. But lasciviousness is living for the flesh, living a loose lifestyle. This whatever feels good, do it. Verse 20 says, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Now let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands that which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Pretty neat passage. Didn't lose anybody on that, did we? Hope you followed along and gained from it, because it's a long passage, but it's a passage to help us grow in the Lord. All right, let's go ahead and pray, and let's get into the message this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we sure do love you, and thank you for the privilege to be able to preach your word. Lord, I don't feel worthy to, and I do thank you for that great privilege to do so. But Lord, I don't want my words to be heard. I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak powerfully today. Lord, be with those that aren't here due to sickness. And there's quite a few sick. And Lord, some are traveling. And Lord, some are dealing with other issues. Would you just be with them in a special way and bring them back safely with us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever noticed that God's ways are different than man's ways? When somebody hits me, you know what I want to do? I want to hit them back. Matter of fact, most people would say, I want to get even. But I found out that we don't really want to get even. We want to hit them back a little harder. Don't we want retribution? We want to just let them have it. And so, I like to use the verse, and I joke about this one, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Right? So if someone hits me, I can hit them back. But that's not the heart of Christ at all, is it? The heart of Christ is to do what? Turn the other cheek. Did he really mean that? Did he really mean to go an extra mile with someone to actually go one, you go with them two? You know what? What he's saying is that we show the love of Christ through our life. In other words, we talk about in Sunday school, but service to the Lord is all about love. We serve because we love him. If we're serving for any other reason, it's not having the effect that it's supposed to have. And so now we're talking about, well, first of all, I want us to realize that, you know, God's ways are not our ways, but God's ways are best. So I need to start studying God's ways that I might have what they would say is the best life. And so understanding this, I realize that since my ways aren't God's ways, I've got to change. Ooh. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm the kind of person that likes to get in comfortable. I like to sit in the same pew in the church. You know, I like to get familiar with a certain car and just feels comfortable, you know. You get the seat in just the right position. You know how it is. And someone comes along and messes up your comfort. Yeah, well, maybe in the morning. You know how warm the bed is? And it's cold out and you don't want to get out? That's our comfort zone. We don't like to leave that. And so we say, Lord, I don't want to change. I want to change in my results, but I don't want to change in the way I am. And guess what? It doesn't work that way. To have a change in our results, we need to have a change in our actions, and we need to be what God wants us to be, and that's called a growth process. I need to grow in the Lord. How many of you have ever grown? I found out I grew this way for a while, and now I grow this way. All right? Isn't that what happens? By the way, what's required in growth? Food. We need to have food to grow. What's something else that's involved in growth? Time. It takes time to grow. I thought that I would never grow. I didn't grow until I turned 15. And then I didn't grow all that much. But until I was 15, I was really short. And now I'm really tall compared to 15, but I'm still short. All right? So, any of you, how many of you think it'd be cool if you could grow a foot a night? Any of you guys want to be bigger? Ah, I can see some smiles now. Yes, sir, that's me too. I would like to grow overnight. And you know what? When it comes to spiritual matters, most of us think, I want to grow overnight. I want this problem to be gone tomorrow. And so we pray, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. But that isn't the way growing works. Growing takes time. Growing takes food. And with growth comes some growing pains. I've noticed that over the years too. And when you grow spiritually, you're going to notice the same thing. So we're going to talk about that. Growing in the Lord. Growing spiritually. You know, what I've preached on so far, we've covered over the different months, maybe even years of my pastoring here, many of the pieces that fit into the puzzle here. And I realize that you probably know a lot of these things, but sometimes I know certain things, but I don't put two and two together. And what I want to do is take all of these biblical truths that you probably already know and put them into an order so that it'll help you maybe understand this growth process in the Lord a little bit more. So here are five steps in the growing process. Five steps. And by the way, each one adds to the previous. Isn't that the way growth is? Each one grows upon the other, grows upon the other. So there we go. First one is, I need to see that God wants me to change. And so with this in mind, you got Ephesians open? Verse 1, what's it say? See if you can see that God wants change here. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you're called. Worthy of a vocation? That means that God wants me to change. To be worthy of something. All right, let's go on. In verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. How many of us are perfect? Now, I know there's talking about mature, all right, complete. But how many of us are perfect, mature, and complete right now? None of us are. We've all got to grow. So there you see the growing process. Verse 15, he says, but speaking in the truth, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. How many of us are completely matured in Christ now? Not yet. Okay, the sanctification process that's going on. Verse 17 says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Does that show change? Yes. No, don't live the same way I used to. Verse 22 and 24 through 24. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust and be renewed in the spirit of your mind and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So you see a change there. Yes, my old way of living, now I'm new in Christ, and I'm going to grow in that way of living. And the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let's look at chapter 5, verse 1. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Isn't that neat? Like father, like son. Now, who would you rather be a chip off the old block than Jesus Christ? Right? And I don't mean that sacrilegiously. I mean that seriously. Wouldn't you want to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember, are you a Christian? That's my question. Can you be a believer and not a Christian? And I've thrown that one out a few times to get people to think. What is a believer? A believer is a person who's received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. What's a Christian? Well, that name was given to people in Antioch. Remember, in Acts. If you read through the book of Acts, you'll see that in Antioch, the Christians were so much like Jesus that they said, you're little Christians. You're little Christs. Little Christ would be Christian. That's the definition. And so they got the term. You're just like Jesus. Now, how many of you would hate that if someone said, you're just like Jesus? Well, you know, it was meant to be a derogatory term, but to me that would tickle me inside. That'd make me happy. And so a Christian is one who is like the Lord Jesus Christ. You would say that's a chip off the old block. And so I ask you this question. Would you say that you are a Christian? Would you say that your life represents Christ? And I sure hope that it does, and that's what we're talking about here. So here are some key points. In verse 1, he says, I want you to walk worthy of the vocation wherein you're called. Real quickly, what is a vocation? Well, that's someone's job. Maybe you, young people, what do you want to do when you grow up? Anybody here? Well, maybe you want to be a doctor, a lawyer, you know, a truck driver. You know, I don't know, general in the army. You know, may as well have some rank to it, right? What do you want to be when you grow up? What is your vocation going to be? I've had some different vocations down through the years. I've been a mechanic for quite a few years. And now the Lord has me as a pastor. That was quite a change. A lot of things to learn. Still a lot of things to learn. People say, yeah, I know. Yeah, you got a lot of things to learn yet. And I do. And I'm trying to. And the Lord's teaching me. But you know what? He gave me a vocation in His work. You have a vocation that God has called you to. Have you asked Him what it is? A lot of Christians are too busy living their own life to sit down and talk with God and see what His job, what their purpose on life here is all about. And so I challenge you right off. God's looking for some change, and that change is from your way of living to what God has. And God's way of living for your life is going to be far more profitable. I know a lot of young people, and I don't. If I still have your attention, I want you to get this. They go through life striving and striving for they aren't sure what, but to get ahead. We all want to get ahead. But we need to have a plan if we're going to get somewhere. You know, how many of you, and I like thinking of deer hunting right now because everybody's doing it. How many have gotten their deer just by going out and going with their rifle in the air and go right about here? They got their eyes closed and they just kind of move around and they pull the trigger. Now, did I get them? Now, I have found out that even when I aim at the deer, sometimes I miss. And I don't like that. But I do know this, that if I don't aim, if I aim at nothing, I'm going to hit nothing every time. And same thing goes for life. If we don't have a goal, we're going to wake up someday and go like, what have I done with my life? And I think that's where most of us come to, because as young people, not very many young people are willing to stop and slow down enough and talk with God and see where God would want them to go with their life. And it's just saying here in this first verse, you've got a vocation, and I'm begging you that you walk worthy of what God has for you. Wow. That's a challenge. A worthy vocation. Unto a perfect man, complete and mature in Christ in verse 13. Unto the measure and stature of Christ. Did you see that one? The measure and stature of Christ? That means, do you measure up to what Christ was? Well, I would say Christ is up here and I'm somewhere way down there, wouldn't you? If you were putting it on a scale. When I was growing up, how about you guys? My mom had a yardstick on the doorpost. And I don't know if it's still there or not. Is it still there? Still there in the house, they tell me. And there's some pencil marks on there. One of them was me forever, so I quit going to there. But I kept going over to that thing, and I'd stand up. You put your back to it, right? How do you measure yourself, right? And you stand up really tall. Stretch out every vertebrae you have. Make sure there's no compressed discs, right? Because you want to be really tall. And then you take your hand and you go like this and mark it, right? Get as high as you can. And you look back and say, man, my sister's is still up there. I couldn't measure up. You know what? But if you're shooting for the goal to be like Jesus Christ, you're going to continue to grow. And that's what God is saying. Until you what? To reach that complete stature and fullness of Christ. Growing up into Him in all things. But you notice, I'm doing it in Christ. He's working through me to make me to be like Him. And then it goes on to putting on the new man and to be followers of God. Change is hard. Have you ever broken your arm and have to write with your left hand? Those of you who are left-handed, do you ever have to write with your right hand? Now, some of you are ambidextrous like some of my kids, and I don't want to hear it. I can write with both hands. But, you know, isn't it hard to change? You know, go home and try to write with your wrong hand. and just see how it works. Matter of fact, if you want, for a while, try to take notes here on the sermon and keep up with the wrong hand. It's change. And at first, change is hard. And you know what? We rebel against change. Not that you're a rebellious person, right? But we hate it. And change the hard thing. So the first point we had was God wants me to change, and I need to want what God wants. So I'm going to say, God, you have a plan for my life. I'm willing to change my will for your will. Because I know what you have for me is the best. In Philippians chapter 1, and you don't have to turn there, but it's just a page or two over. In verse 6 it says, being confident of this very thing, that he, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And so what's going on here? God is working on you. You ever seen the bumper sticker, be patient with me, God's not finished with me yet? There's so much truth to that. It takes a lot of patience for us. But you know what? Who's doing the work? God is. Who can hinder that work? There's only one person, and that's you. That's you telling God, no, I don't want you to change me. And if we don't want change, that's what's going to happen. So what's the challenge? To say, yes, Lord, I have a vocation that you've given me. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, there's another challenge. It says this. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Who's doing the work in you? It is God. It is Christ. In chapter 4, verse 13, real easy to find, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Isn't that neat? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So there we have it. God wants to do a work in you. He's asking you to change. And here is the big one. If we don't get point number one, we never change. Point number one is realizing that God wants us to change for our own good. So will you accept it? Okay, number two. God wants me to be changed to be more like His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we've mentioned that already, and we're going to skip on down through here. But here is a saying that a lot of people have said, and see if you can tell me what these letters stand for. WWJD. You ever seen those? What would Jesus do? So, what are you supposed to do? They wear bracelets. Anybody have a bracelet? WWJD. What would Jesus do? Is this to remind you through the day, what would Jesus do? And so you come up to your brother, and you're going to really let him have it, because he deserves it. And you look at this bracelet, and it says, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Would that have an effect on your life right at that moment? Because now you have to make a decision. Am I going to let him have it, or am I going to do what Jesus would do? But what's the other, as I think about that statement, I like to change it just a little bit. Instead of what would Jesus do, I like to think of what did Jesus do. Because I have found out that people, when they look at it as what would Jesus do, they make up all kinds of things and say he would have done this. So you best just go look in the Bible and see what Jesus did do and then follow his example. So the second point is, not only does God want us to change, but he wants us to change to be like Jesus Christ. Now, point number three. God wants us to be changed to be more like His Son by putting off the old self. You see how I'm just adding to each one? It's just kind of simple. But He wants me to be changed, to be more like Jesus Christ. How? By putting off the old self. In other words, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 here, or verse 3, He said, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What is God saying here? He's saying here that Pastor, at one time, was selfish. I only cared about what I wanted. Have you ever noticed how kids are born that way? I've noticed that. Before they can talk, they throw fits. Why? Because you're not giving them what they want. When does that change? It's stuck in us, isn't it? Our old nature says, I want to be first. Me first. I want my way, and I don't care what it costs anybody else. I don't care whose feelings I hurt. I don't care who I step on, as long as number one is number one. But when we walk with the Lord, and we are seeking to change to be like Christ, we need to realize that that old sinful flesh needs to be put aside. In other words, my old self. And by the way, that's my old way of thinking and acting. And you might put it this way, that's my old habits. What is a habit? Are habits a good thing or a bad thing? Now, that's quite a thought, isn't it? Because before I get someone caught in a trick question, I'm going to say, is it a good thing or a bad thing? Think about it for a moment. Are habits good or bad? Well, let me put it this way. We'll get to that in just a minute. I want you to think about that for a minute. But here the Bible says that I'm to lay off or to put off the old man. And the old man is my old selfish way of doing things, my old selfish habits, my old selfish habits and actions and desires. And have you ever had dirty clothes? Maybe you fell into something on the farm. You know, maybe you've had a rough work day. Maybe someone was sick and they got, you know, some of this on your clothes. You know, do you just relish that? You know, let's say that the little one you had, he had the flu, stomach flu, and he upchucked on your clothes. I'm trying to be nice about this, but get you to think that this is yuck, right? How many of you would take that garment and just pull it up close to your neck and take so comforting. I'd be like this. I want to get it off without it touching me, right? You would be struggling to get out of that clothes, and it's really bad if you don't have a zipper or buttons, because it's got to come over your head, right? As though you're trying your hardest not to get it on yourself. That's because it's disgusting. And when we got saved and we saw the way our old life was, we saw that it was disgusting. And we didn't want that anymore, and now we want to do things God's way, but I got to get that off. And so I take that disgusting, oh, sinful, selfish life. And by the way, isn't it disgusting when you see someone who's just so selfish? And the older they get, the worse it is. Because you expect it of a little child, but you expect people to mature out of that and quit being so selfish and care about others. So we take off this old, selfish, sinful life. When we're saved, it's taken off. That old sin is gone, but the old flesh still wants to put it back on. So how many people reach back over in the old hamper and pull out that old dirty clothes and put it back on? How many of you would do that? No way. Man, it's been fermenting in that hamper. It's disgusting. I don't want to have anything to do with it. But you know what the devil does? In life, he convinces people to put it back on. And God is saying, the first thing you've got to do is, if you're going to be like Christ, is to put off the old man. And you know what? When you take off that clothes, that signifies personal responsibility. You have to take it off. Some people say this, you know what? I realize that the sin is in my life, and I've asked God to take care, to get rid of it, and I still have a desire for it. God won't take that away, so it's not my fault. The problem is you're not seeing it like God sees it. When you see it as disgusting, what's going to happen? You're going to want to take it off. But as long as you see old filthy sin is all right, you're not seeing it through God's eyes. You're going to try and live it until God makes you get out of it. And by the way, we serve Him because we what? Because we love Him, not because He forces. You see the picture? The reason that we aren't having victorious Christian lives is because we're not close enough to God to be in love with Him and to want to serve Him and be seeing things through His eyes. And God says, if you want to change because you realize my way is best and you want to be like Jesus Christ, the first thing you've got to do is get rid of that old man. And by the way, it says here that they were corrupt. Let's see, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, where we were you there. It says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt. And there we have that word. That means spoiled, rotten, contaminated, perverted, and evil. That's what sin is. Do you know what I think of sin sometimes as an individual? I go like, oh, that's not so bad. That's one of those little sins, right? Now, murder, that's bad. But if I am angry with someone and I have a little hatred to them and they deserve it, that's okay, right? God says they're the same thing. What? God says they're the same thing. We have to get a different perspective. And so He says here that it's rotten, contaminated. And then He uses another word in there. It says deceitful lusts. What are lusts? Well, lusts are a strong desire of any kind to motivate behavior. And I've preached on this before, and I'm probably going to stop at this point and save the last two for later. But here it is. My body has different lusts. Some of them are good. My body says it likes food. That's a good thing. Because if I didn't eat, what would happen? You know, as a teenager, you have a desire to eat, right? I love to eat, especially when I was a teenager. Yesterday, my big guts were eating up my little guts. I was hungry. Right? That's a good desire. But can that desire be an all-consuming desire and go too far? Well, sure, we all know that. Then it becomes a problem, an eating disorder of overeating. and it can go the other way, of under-eating. The flesh needs things, so it tells us that it needs it. That's fine. But when that lust becomes an all-consuming power, that's where we run into trouble. When the body demands something, then we've got a problem. So let's put it this way. The Bible says here that lusts are deceitful. And I was just looking that up in the Bible. What does it say about the lusts being deceitful? The lusts always promise something they can't keep. If you punch your sister back, that'll make you feel good. And it'll be better. Do you ever punch him back and then wished you hadn't? Have you ever said something in anger to someone and wished you could take it back? That's because lust in the old flesh is deceitful in its actions. Hebrews 13, 12 and 13, I'm going to read that to you. Did I say Hebrews 12? I'm sorry, I shut the wrong way. Hebrews 3. I love to hear the pages flip out there. It says, take heed. By the way, when it says take heed, that means watch out. Pay close attention here. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Isn't that what God wanted us to do? Get close to Him and be like Christ? Yes. But can we depart from that? Yes. So it says in verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Can you look back or look in people's lives around you and find people who claim to be Christians who have gotten caught up in things of the world and now no longer are serving God? Their lives are now devastated. We don't want to be there. And that's what he's saying. Let me warn you, today is the day you worry about. Today is the day you live for God. Today is the day that you serve Him. The devil will tell you, you can serve God tomorrow. But God says, today is the day. I knew I was going to run out of time. We're going to go into the nitty-gritty of how to make the positive change. But what did we learn today? That God's ways are not our ways, but God's ways are best. If we'll seek to allow God to change us, He will change us to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. But He does have personal responsibility involved in that, because a lot of people have said, what? God should just change me. But change comes at a cost. Growth in the Lord requires what? The same thing that growth physically does. Time, food, which would be the Word of God, and pain. There's growing effort. There's exercise involved in it. You wouldn't see a wrestler. How many of you have ever watched wrestling? Do you have wrestling in school? Those guys pretty strong. You ever watch wrestlers? Can you imagine if I was to go out there and say, I'll take you on. I think I'm going to go to the Olympics, and I'm going to wrestle. It was a Greco-Roman wrestling that they have, I believe, in the Olympics. I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to compete. You know what would happen to me? The moment, 2 seconds I'd be out there, they'd have me into a pretzel hold. I mean, I would look like a pretzel, and I'd be out of breath, screaming for help. It'd be over. Why? I haven't exercised. I haven't grown. I haven't trained. And you know what? Some people often don't do any training in the Word of God, don't spend any time with Him, and then wonder why the devil defeats them so royally. The Bible's saying you need a close walk with God. What is it today that God wants you to give up for Him? What is it today that He has spoken to your heart about that He says, this shouldn't be in your life? Are you willing to give it up? Are you willing to look at it like I look at it? Because you know what? We keep looking at sin as a little thing. It's we want to keep it in our closet because you know what? It's my pet sin. This is the preacher. I want you to preach on sin because that guy in that front row, he really needs to hear. And he needs to change. He's got a real anger problem. And that guy over on the other side of the church, you need to preach to him because he's got a real problem. But whatever you do, you best not preach on my pet sin. It's not that bad. I enjoy it and I don't want to hear anything against it. You know what that is? That's the devil and pride deceiving you into ruining your life. But God says, I've got something better. Will you give that up? You know what? Until we're willing to give that to God, we're not going to have victory over it. And I have come to the understanding that victory isn't just one prayer saying, God, give me victory. It's saying, Lord, I see it as You do. With Your help, we're going to gain the victory. I give it up, and You, as we'll see in the next week, are going to replace it with something else. You don't give up habits without replacing with something else. And we'll talk about habits more next week. But I guess that was enough for one day. I hope I didn't step on toes. I hope I just helped us to look into our hearts as Jesus Christ would and let Him challenge us to where He wants us to be willing to change. And then our personal responsibility comes today. Will you yield that to the Lord? That's a loaded question, isn't it? That's the crossroads of decision. You know, when you come to a fork in the road and you're driving and you don't put on the brakes, you're going to have to turn one way or another or you're in trouble. And the way life is the default way is the way of sin. And now you're at a choice in your life as to what you're going to do about it. Are you going to turn God's way or are you just going to continue down the path of destruction and let the devil deceive you and spoil your life? Well, I have hymn number here, 451, for invitation. And I also want to let you know that if you haven't received Christ your Savior, I don't know what this, that I'm not sure if heaven is my home. We would sure like to explain that to you today if you'd like to come forward, either during the invitation or afterward, and we'll show you from God's Word how you can know that heaven is your home. But the message was basically for Christians. What is it that God wants you to change in your life? Will you give that to Him in your growth for God? Hymn number 451, let's stand and sing, I Surrender. Heavenly Father, we sure do love You, and I thank You for Your Word. I thank You that You've asked for our love and not just for blind service. And so, Lord, may the message today be a challenge to our hearts. Lord, we sang, I Surrender All. That's a hard song to sing. But, Lord, I pray that we meant it today and that You'd bless people as they go live for You this week. Give safety on the way home. Bring everyone safe back this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.